The Farmhand Next Door. Narrated by James Liam. Narrated for Cupido in collaboration with Saga. Counterbalance by Dante. The warmest day of the entire summer arrives at the start of September, an Indian summer before the rain starts and the leaves begin to fall. I'm standing high up on a slope and I can sense the autumn gathering beyond the hills. The town is as hot as a baker's oven and everyone has left in order to cool off on the beaches to the west of the town centre. There's not a person in sight. The housing estates and parks, country roads and dry gravel paths are desolate and lifeless. I should have been at the beach as well, but I have too much harvesting to do. So does Evan in the neighbouring farm. We work together on the machines and have been trudging around both day and night for the last little while in shifts, working on other people's lands first. Now we just have our own land to work on. Typical, then, that the wire snapped just as Evan sticks the knives in the dry, golden sea of barley. I remove the wire and drive home to weld it, but it kept snapping, and the earliest we could get a new one was tomorrow. I resign, exhausted, hungry, angry, and way too warm. My head is boiling and sweat is streaking down my back. Evan was lying half inside the old beast of a combine harvester, removing the wire again. From where I was standing, blinded by the sun, it looked like his naked torso and the machine were melting together in a kind of Cronenberg-esque dream sequence. Evan is a few years older than me, and evidently more patient. At least he is ploughing forward with the ruined part of his fist, even though he doesn't entirely know what to do with it. No, for fuck's sake, this isn't going anywhere at all. He throws his gloves on the ground and climbs into the front seat, rustling around behind it. Here, he says, throwing down a bottle of Jack Daniels. Whiskey in the heat, though? I ask, half joking, half serious. Until these bloody vehicles come with a fridge to keep the beer cold, yes. I thought about popping it as soon as we were finished, but this isn't whiskey or bourbon, Mads. This is Gentleman Jack, he said ceremoniously, probably meaning that it'll do for us now. He wipes the sweat from his forehead, making it even dirtier, kicks off his shoes and pulls off his sweat-soaked socks. He scratches his head with a filthy hand and wiggles his bare toes in the grass. He grins and nudges me in the side. Now we look stupid. Yeah. I unscrew the bottle and respectfully take a generous gulp of the exclusive brown liquor. It burns like a bonfire in my throat, and my stomach catches fire in a wonderful, scathing way. I feel it in my hands, down my arms, prickling beneath the skin. We haven't eaten all day, and the alcohol hits us immediately. A comfortable numbness settles over us. Amazing, right? Evan raises the bottle towards the sky, drinking and swallowing until there are tears in his eyes. If we could catch the summer and put it in a glass, concentrate the sunny days and the warmth, and the people and their smiles and laughter and love, so that everything could fit into a glass, then it would probably taste something like this, I say. Ha, that's exactly how I feel as well, he says, relieved both over the poetry and the fact that it didn't take much for me to forget our barley harvesting goals.